Yes. It's on page 168. We are on page 168, Pasuk Tes, Shea, Perek, Yud Aleph. Okay, Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tes. We did already most of the Pasuk. We just want to do the Malm with you. And maybe a few Mamari Chazal, and then we'll go on. Let's read the Pasuk again. Lo Esech Harnapi, Hashem says here. Again, it's on page 168, Perek, Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tes. Hashem says, Lo Esech Harnapi, Hashem says, I will not pour out my anger. We didn't discuss this. Esa is an unusual expression. When we found that HaKadosh Baruch Hu describing anger, we don't usually say the word esa. Esa is a creative word. I shall do. I shall create. It's something unusual because I think what does it say? It says in the Teichacha. Okay, usually when we find the expression of anger, it's burning. My anger will not kindle, will not burn up. B'chor api bochem. And here, or it says, I'll pour out. I will pour upon you. Here, it's a whole new expression. The whole expression is, lo yeseh. I will not do. I will not do. I mean, it's a hard word to translate, the word eseh. It means to create, to form. It's a more intense word than the word of just natural, the natural burning of heat, the natural pouring out of anger. Here, I don't know what it means, but it's something that is definitely different.
What about acting out? I will not.
What?
Acting out, I will not. It's like doing when you act out.
Acting out, okay, that's interesting. It's a modern, they say with children, they're acting out. I never heard that until recently. You never heard that expression that children they act out. It means they misbehave. It's when I was a child, they misbehave, making trouble. You're making trouble. Okay, so that's indeed okay. It's an interesting. I don't recall that we had this expression elsewhere. I just want to make what esse when in connection with the word charoinapi. Usually, it's Hashem. He's going to kindle his wrath. The metaphor is heat, fire.
Actual Maisa, you're thinking of an actual Maisa when you say.
Because it's destruction, fire. That's one of the reasons why the Torah singles out Lo Sevaru Eish B'chol Moshvo Seichem. There's a lot of different explanations. Last week we discussed that at length. In the Chumash part, what does it mean? Why in the Lama Tes Melacha is that Kodesh Baruch Hu have to specify fire? Why fire more so than any other of the Lama Tes Melachas? And one of the common answers is because fire, by definition, is destructive. It's destructive. Labor, the Lama Tes Melachas of Shabbos, are all creative acts of labor. You're creating something. You're doing something new. Fire, by definition, is destructive. And indeed, la halacha, the only time a person is chayiv when it comes to fire, the only time a person is chayiv for lighting a fire is if his kavana is that the fire should do something constructive. It should be used to cook, or it should be used to, basically it has to be used in a positive way. If a person lights a fire for the purpose of destroying, he's an arsonist, even if he has kavana to light the fire just for its own sake, that it should consume fuel and nothing other than that, he's potter. He's not considered to have been mechal Shabbos. You have to light a fire in a constructive way, but that goes against the grain of what fire is. The essence of fire is destruction. So that's why the Torah has to specify. That's correct. It is destructive. And therefore, if not for the Torah telling you, you would think that it would not be part of the 39 categories of labor. Therefore, I want to make it be known to you. It's an exception. Indeed, it's destructive, but it's an exception. The person who lights fire for a positive purpose will be chayiv misa for chil Shabbos or chayiv kares or b'shoeg chayiv karbon chatas. So here we have the word of Eloi Esa Charanapi. Charanapi is anger. Charan is the kindling of anger, which is heat, which is associated with fire. And here it's a constructive. Hashem is not going to use my anger to destroy you. All right, we'll leave it with that. Then I'm not going to Ashuv. We have different interpretations of what this means. I'm not going to go back on my words. One interpretation, I'm not going to go forward. The word Ashuv either could mean I'm not going to regret, or it could mean I'm not going to move forward. Moving forward, returning is all relative in which direction you're going. If you don't want to do something and you do it, that means you are going backwards because it's not really what you want to do. So here when Hashem does not really want to destroy us, So when Hashem says, I'm going to move forward with my plan to destroy you, the word Ashuv is the correct word, because Hashem does not want to go in that direction. V'shachis Ephraim ki kel anechu yamini perushim v'lo ish kel either means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God that is faithful. Emes kel melech nemon, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. He is the boss. He has power. He dominates the world. And therefore, the world is under his control. V'lo ish HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a time, there's no limitation of time. Bikir b'chol kadosh, we explain different perush what this means. Either it's the past tense, that I have always been with you, or it means in the future tense, I will be with you in the future. V'lo yavai v'ir, we have different perushim, I will not, so many perushim v'lo yavai v'ir. Either it means I'm not going to come with anger. B'ir means, it means or, er v'oinon, er, two different people, but er means to be awakened. I'm not going to be aroused. I'm not going to be aroused with hatred towards you. Or we learn, going to other, most perushim means a city. That's the simple translation. And the question is, which city does this mean? I'm not going to go into the Yerushalayim Shalmaila until the Yerushalayim Shalmata is built. I'm not going to go into Rome. Or V'loy Avay V'loy, I'm not going to rest my divine presence in Tel Aviv. Yerushalayim is the final resting place. I just summarized the whole hour's worth of Shiram yesterday. Now we're going to go see it more in the Malbim. Okay, we can't go over it now because we did yesterday. You have to refer back to the videotape. Let's go now to the Malbum. Malbum Pasik Tes. Lo'ese. Al-Pize Yomer. 168. 168 Lo'ese. Al-Pize Yomer Hashem Shebocha Derech Mimutza. Hashem is telling us here that he's going to select. The Malbum is following Lishita Soy. The Malbum says that Kadosh Baruch Hu has begun his departure. He has departed, and then he recognizes that the Jewish people are crying out to him and telling Hashem, stop, don't go further. Don't go all the way back home, at least remain somewhere in the middle. Hashem is somewhere in the middle. I'm not going to go back to Shimron. I'm going very quickly over here because we only discussed this 2 days ago. This is the beautiful, beautiful parish of the Malbim. The Malbim says that the two different hanhagas, the two different ways of Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes Klal Yisrael. And that's the difference. The difference is that Kadosh Baruch Hu remains with us if the Shechina is residing amongst us and we sin when Hashem is present. Then Hashem himself gives us a frask. And that was the Hanhaga, that would be equivalent to Sodom va'amora adma utzvayim. If Hashem is present, and we have a chutzpah to rebel against him in his presence, Hashem gets very upset, and he punishes us with utter obliteration. He himself will do something miraculous. Miraculous, like what Hashem has done to Sodom Vamora, where there was we don't even know what happened over there. There was some type of churban that is l'mala miderech hateva. The other approach is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we are not behaving, he can. So I'm not gonna harm you directly. I'm just going to leave you. I'm going to abandon you. When Hashem abandons us, what happens? The natural forces of evil and chaos in this world naturally overtake us. So when Hashem will abandon us, we are the weakest nation. It is only natural that Ashur will come upon us, trample us, and destroy us. That's the nature of this world. Survival of the fittest. And it is a reality in this world that Kiatem Hame'at Nikol Ho'amim. That in Klal Yisrael, by nature, we are the weakest, we are the most vulnerable, and we can be Rachman Litzlan, we can be harmed very, very easily. This is what it says in the Torah. Ki atem hama'at. Ma'at does not just mean that you are a small in number, it means you're a small period. Okay, we are a small nation in every dimension, physically, materially. This is the reality. And if we find in Jewish history that we are on top of the world, that's only because it's siyata d'shmaya. It's l'mala miderech hateva. That's why we are successful. So Hashem says, the other approach, what I can do is I can just abandon you. I will leave you. I will go back to my abode in heaven. And then I will allow the natural forces of this world to operate, which mean that Klal Yisrael will be obliterated by Ashur, who now has their eyes set on destroying Klal Yisrael. So therefore, Mon of Shach, we're in trouble. Klal Yisrael is not with the program. So Mon of Shach, whatever is going to happen is not going to be good. If Hashem is going to, the Shekhinah will remain in Klal Yisrael, then Hashem himself will bring upon us himself a supernatural churban like Sodom v'Amorah. If Hashem, on the other hand, decides to leave because he cannot tolerate our sins and goes back to Shemayim, then we're going to be devoured by Melech Ashur. So what will Hashem do? So this pasuk is a continuation of how the Malbim in the previous pasuk. It's very, very beautiful. Hashem says, I'm going to stay somewhere. I'm going to do with you the most incredible chesed. I have a solution. What's the expression in Yiddish? A Yid always has an Eitzah. What's the expression? There's some expression. Okay, there's an expression. The Jew always finds a solution to the impossible problems. Not all, and even the oven, but most problems, there's a novel solution. Hashem says, I'm going to stay in the middle. I'm not going to go back to Shemayim, but I'm also not going to completely abandon. I'm not going to be with you. And that's for your benefit. Because if I'm with you, then I'm going to destroy you myself. If I go to Shemayim, Ashur is going to devour you. So what am I going to do? I'm going to stay somewhere in the middle. And that's how the Malbim brilliantly translates this pasuk. Loy eseh charoy napi. I'm not going to remain with you. I'm not going to reside. I'm not going to keep my presence in the Beis HaMikdash at maximum intensity. Because if I do that, I'm not going to be silent when you're worshiping idols in front of me. I would have to blow you to smithereens. I would have to do to you what I did to Sodom Vamora. Therefore, I'm out of here. I got to leave. It's for your benefit. It's for your benefit that I am not here and witness what you're doing. But, so what would I naturally do? I would go all the way back to Shemayim. If I go all the way back to Shemayim, then what's the next thing that's going to happen? Ashur will come and obliterate you. So you know what? I'm not going to go loy or shuv. I'm also not going to return my divine presence to heaven. So I'm not going to remain with you, because that would be an expression of harnapi. And I'm not going to go ashuv, I'm not going to return to Shemayim. I'm going to be somewhere in the middle. And somewhere in the middle will at least fight off, will at least be enough of presence to prevent Ashur from attacking. And I won't be close enough where I'll see exactly what's going on in your life. You know, it's like grandparents. Don't go too close and don't go too far. If you go too close, you're not going to like what you see. And if you go too far, your grandchildren are not going to be able to survive. They need you. They need your wallet. They need your help. They need your guidance. You have to know exactly where to be. So this is true, very true in life. Parents and children, right? And grandparents in relationships, you have to know, don't get too close, but don't get too far. You have to find the middle ground, give a person their own space. Don't dominate, because you're not going to get along with them. Get too close for comfort. But if you're too far away, you know what's going to happen. Too far away, they need you. They still need you. You are their conscience. You are their, sometimes you're really their support. So it's so.
Parents' job is to advise when asked.
When asked, Rav Avigdor Miller said that the grandparents are just one. The grandparents are to do two things: keep their mouth shut and open up their wallet. Avigdor Miller.
That's a father-in-law.
What? Father-in-law. The mouth has to be closed. The mouth is closed and the wallet is opened.
It's an extension.
That's a shocking thing for him to say. That's so much not what I would expect him to say. Avigdor Miller, he didn't hold back. He said what he wanted to say. I mean, things that he says are just utterly shocking.
That's part of what Yishayim, Berega Katon HaSaftir, Avim Roni Akor, I think it was right. Berega Katon HaSaftir.
I told Razor that the grandparents and children and grandchildren have a common enemy.
Parents. Very good. Very, very good. Okay. With someone my father should always say that had I known how much I would love my grandchildren, how much I adore them, I would have had them first before my children. Okay. All the famous fun is when the grandchildren come, it's nachas. And when they leave,
nachas.
Relief. All right, lo says, so the Malbim, this is continues his idea. Okay, let's just finish with here. Lo says, so he's going to be somewhere in the middle. Okay, so he explained his idea. And then let's see on the next page, the Malbim goes further. Let's go to the next page 171. Ki kel anochi v'lo yish zetam al shnei hadvarim. Okay, so again, everything in the Malbim is a parallel. Parallel the two different options. Both options are no good. And therefore, Hashem says, I'm going to have to somehow find middle ground, create middle ground. Hashem says, I'm a God. If I'm a God, I'm going to remain with you here. I can't tolerate what's taking place. I'm going to have to destroy you. I can't go to Shoim, I can't tolerate what you're doing. Hashem is going to remain in this world to some degree to protect him from Shoimrim. Shoimrim is not going to be a Shoimrim. Rak Yamoid Chutz Leir, Hashem will be on the outside. V'yotzio Samino Ir Chutz Leleches LaGoyle. V'Hashem Yelchi Mochem B'Roish Goylim V'Heim Yelchu Acharav. V'Zeh Amar Lochein His Yoatzdi. I have decided Ki Bikir B'Cha Kadosh She Eshoer Kadosh Bikir B'Cha V'Loi Esrachek Me'Itcha. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to distance myself, but I believe there is a mistake here in the Gerasa because he says that he's not explaining what it means ish. I think over here when it says the word kel, one of the times that it says the word kel, I think it really means to say the word ish. Okay, so I think what he means over here is that you go back in the top of the page, on page 170, ki kel onochi v'loy ish. Okay, I am a kel. No, maybe not. Maybe I'm a kel. No, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Kikel anochi v'lo'ish, that's one expression. Hashem says, I am a kel, and I'm not an ish, therefore it is impossible for me to remain within the city. If I'm going to remain, my divine presence will remain with you, being that I am a god, and gods do not tolerate when people worship idols, Hashem is not going to tolerate when you're worshiping idols in front of my face, it would be for you a terrible or not to your benefit for me to be with you because I would destroy you. So therefore, I'm going to leave. I'm leaving. Bye-bye. But still, Bikir B'chol Kadosh, I'm not going to leave you entirely. I'm going to remain with you to a degree so that you are protected from Ashur. And now this repetition, but not totally. I can't be with you 100% because the loyal voy the ear. I can still not enter into the city itself. I cannot be with you 100%. So basically, Hashem in this pasuk, according to the Malbim, it's a beautiful continuation because this pasuk parallels back and forth between these two different ideas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, "I, if I'm going to be with you, I'm going to destroy you. If I distance myself from you entirely, then Asher will destroy you. So therefore, what am I going to do? I'm going to create a space for myself somewhere in the middle." Amazing. And that's really, it's so true, because that is really the way we live today. That is really the hashkafa. I really believe that this is the hashkafa that we live with today in modern times in Golis. When we in Golis, so we recognize Imoy Anochi Bitzar. On the one hand, there is no Beis HaMikdash. We don't have the Shekhinah resting 100% in the Beis HaMikdash. There is very deep hester upon him. But we also sense that Hashem is watching us. Hashem is there. We have a special, Hashem is not gone like a goy, a non-Jew. A non-Jew, they don't have that sense. They everything is chance, everything is mazel, and they don't have that recognition, that sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is near. He's near. Hashem is not here. By Klal Yisrael, we live with the Hashkafa in the times of Golis. Hashem is not here, but he's near. That's really pretty much how we live. You can't go say Hashem is mamish here. I mean, Hashem, of course, is here. But you can't say that Hashem, there is no Beis HaMikdash. You can't, the Hashros Hashchin is not resting in the base. There is no Beis HaMikdash. So it's not at its maximum capacity. But to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not there's not an extra special dosage of Shechina resting amongst Klal Yisrael, impossible to say that. Hashem certainly is with us in Golus. So it really is exactly like what the Malbim is saying. Not here, Hashem has distanced himself, but Hashem has not returned entirely to his abode in heaven. Hashem is somewhere, Bederech, as the Malbim says, Bederech min Mutza. This idea is a modern, something very, very, very...
The difference between Yishai's Nebuah and Yecheskel with the Ofanim Chayos HaKodesh. His kisei that he saw had no wheels. But when Bnei Yisrael and Angolos...
Do we know Ofanim Yishai?
...needed the wheels because that's the Mepharshim HaRochek Shemayim Ben-Zerba. God has to run around the whole world...
The Merkava.
...finding us.
That's a difference...
...all over the world.
That's the difference between the Merkava and the Kisei. The Kisei means Hashem's permanent abode.
Right.
And then when Hashem is traveling, he goes in the Merkava. Right? So when we'll have the Elif Alfa Avdolis, when the President of the United States, where is his primary residence? In the White House. That's the Kisei, Lahavdil. And then when the President travels, so he has a whole fleet of different
Air Force One,
he has Marine One, he has the Beast. They have 50 of those beasts all over, and they have 50 helicopters. They create for him space. They create for him a virtual White House wherever he travels. But that is the Merkava Lahavdil. That is the chariot. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Klal Yisrael is Oisim Ritzono Shel Makom, and the Shechina is resting in the Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem enters into the Yushlaim Shel Maila, Kaviyachol, the Shechina is Yoishev on the Kisei HaKavod. When Klal Yisrael is in Golos, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit us. He comes to visit us in Golos. To visit us in Golos, Hashem travels in what we call these little concepts, in the Merkava. In the Maisa Mer Yecheskel saw Hashem in Bavel, and he saw the Merkava, the chariot, not the Kisei, because Bavel is Golos. So the Merkava represents the Hashuas Hashchina in Golos. The Kisei represents the Hashuas Hashchina in Eretz Yisrael B'zman She Yisrael Oisim Ritzono Shel Makom. And obviously there's a difference. President Lahavdil Elif Avdolis, he doesn't have every single amenity in his Air Force One like he has in the White House. It cannot be. Okay, the White House is the White House. Air Force One is Air Force One. It's not the same thing. Yeah.
I read about the Indian of Yerida. There's twice I know in the Torah that the word is
by Yered.
One by
Har Sinai, yeah, yeah.
Abraham Avinu says by Erda.
There will be a Re'ah.
The second one is in Shemois, where Hashem is talking about Shabbat and Erid Latzila. I will go down. So the pshat that I read was that there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally comes down to involve himself directly in whatever the Indian is. And then if you look at when it says there after the Maisha Abraham Avinu, Hashem, so to speak, departs back up, goes back up. I don't know if that happened with the second reference to Erid Latzila. Hashem.
By Sodom, he came down to destroy. By Sodom, Hashem came down to destroy. By Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hashem came down to save. To save. So it's a different type of involvement. Correct. Also, by Har Sinai, it says, Vayerin Hashem al Har Sinai. It's also a Yerida. Okay, let's now go into run through very quickly some of the Mamari Chazal on the bottom of the page, page 170, where it's Likute Shas Umidrashe HaTanoim. Let's go very quickly. There are some things that are more simplistic, some things which are more esoteric. Kikel Anoichi V'loyish Hashem Ish Milchama. Okay, so here we have a stira. What's going on? We say every day in davening in Oz Yashir, Hashem is Ish milchama Hashem Shemai. Hashem is an ish. And here it says, ki kelanoichi viloyish. So what is Hashem? Is Hashem an ish or is Hashem not an ish? Contradiction. Good question. Ev shaloi markein. The Gemara asked the question. Can you really say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem ish milchama? But it says in Sefer Hosea, we learned today, haloi kvar nemar, haloi es hashamayim. You quote all the pasukim first. Haloi es hashamayim v'es ha'aretz ani moleinu Hashem. V'chosav, it says another pasuk, v'kara zel zev yomar, kadosh, kadosh, Hashem tzivakoyitz, Hashem is in the tzivakoyitz, v'svineich v'adakel l'chishol. Okay, and then it goes, okay, he quotes other pasukim, but notice over here, he's not yet quoting the pasuk that we're going to get to our pasuk in a moment. Let's just go one moment. Umat hamaloma Hashem ish milchama. So here the Gemara answers, Mibnei chibaschem gesundheit, Mibnei kidushaschem akadesh shmi bochem, shenemar, due to my love for you, and due to kidushaschem, and due to your kidusha, I will sanctify my name amongst you, shenemar, ki kel onoichi v'loi ish, bekir becha kodosh. So this pasuk, we're using this pasuk according to this is not a gemara. This is sefrei. Okay, this is a mechilta. I'm sorry, and we're using this pasuk to answer the question that bekir becha kodosh. When we say akadesh shemi bochem, okay, I don't really have clarity what it means here, but this pasuk is injecting the idea bekir becha kodosh. Hashem is truly a kel, anochi v'loyish. But because bekir becha kadosh, because I want to sanctify myself amongst you, and you could not relate to me if I would be amongst you as a kel. Therefore, Hashem, this is a very, very Kabbalistic concept, probably the mother of all Kabbalah. The mother of all Kabbalistic concepts is the concept of tzimtzum, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he limits himself, he hides himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so infinite and is so beyond man's understanding, it is impossible beyond anything to relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So how then do we relate to Hashem? Hashem does a very big favor. He's mitzamtzem atzmo. He hides himself. He limits himself. He makes believe, kaviyachol, that he is one of us. I mean, that's what it says in this week's parsha. V'hissalachti b'soichichem. How do you read the Rashi? This has to be in this week's parsha. The Rashi that is the most off the charts of kol chamishei chumshei Torah. In order to understand this Rashi, okay, this week's parasha, you don't get better than this. Should you try to show me a Rashi somewhere in the Torah that says something as I don't know, bizarre or not controversial? I wouldn't say controversial, but something that is so beyond our understanding. In the brachas of Parashas Bechukosai, it says v'hisalachti this the brachas ufanisi. I will walk, Hashem says, I will walk besoichechem amongst you. Rashi, pasuk yud beis. Atayel imochem bigan eden ke echod mikem. How do you like? I'm going to walk with you. You're going to go to Gan Eden, and Hashem says, I'm going to be walking around.
One like you.
Just like you. Like one of you. Ke echod mikem. You know what this means? Like one of you. The load to you, mizdazim mimeni. And you're not going to be afraid of me. I'll be one of the guys. I'm going to be one of the guys in Gan Eden with you. We'll play pool together. And have a beer in Gan Eden. Okay? And you're not going to be afraid of me. You're not going to shudder in front of me. Yachal, loy, tiru, mimeni. You're not going to be afraid of me at all? No. You have some respect. You let me go first. You let me have the first beer. But I'll be one of you. Is there any way in the world we can have any clue what Rashi means? Is that shaykh to understand what this means? No. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like if you go on vacation with your boss. He's still your boss.
How can you say about the Ribbono Shel Olam?
That's what Hashem is saying.
That we're going to walk. So even Rashi, how can Rashi, if I type the pasuk like it's hard enough to part what the pasuk says, and we know what the pasuk can say, sometimes it requires a lot of interpretation, and Rashi makes the pasuk even worse. Right? I'm going to walk among you. Okay, so you can say it means some type of spiritual thing, and Rashi makes it a lot worse by telling us, oh, I'm going to be just like one of you.
Why is it saying Gan Eden?
Gan Eden is spiritual.
So what is Gan Eden? There's a Gan Eden Shomata. We don't know what Gan Eden is. Adam was in Gan Eden. Vayigoresh Megan. Adam was in this world. It was in Gan Eden. What does it mean? I don't know nothing. We obviously know nothing. What?
Shah doesn't refer to it.
What is Gan Eden? What is Gan Eden?
Isn't there a
Maisha
with
Yerod Hashem was Mevakesh, Yerod Ben Nevat, do Teshuvah. And if you'll do Teshuvah, we'll walk in Gan Eden. I'm going to give you the ultimate cover. We'll walk together in Shemayim, myself, you, and David. You and your arch enemy, David. And Yerod Ben Nevat said, Mibarosh, who's going to go first? In other words, from the two of us, David, and myself, which one will be more? I guess the one that's on the right side is more chashu. The one on the left side is who's going to be on the right side? Hashem said, David, I don't want them. I'm not interested. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. Go to the Israel. Or I always thought, me beresh means who goes first? Me or you, Hashem? Who goes first? Who, Hashem, if I go behind you, Hashem, then I don't. I have to go before Hashem also. Okay, how far does COVID go? That's the question. So whatever it means. So this is a principle in Kabbalah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's beyond our. Hashem is mitzamtzem. Hashem hides himself. Hashem allows himself to appear in a way where we can relate to him. If Hashem would be in full force, then we'd be blown away. We don't stand a chance. But being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzamtzem himself, he limits himself, he hides himself, and he only reveals to us a teeny, teeny fraction, a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of what Hashem's essence is. So then we, human beings, can relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So here, that's how we're coming to answer this question. That's how the Malam is, that's how the Chazal are answering this question, putting all the psukim together. The MS is, Hashem is a God. We have so many psukim that there's no way a human being can relate. Oh, but it says in the Pasuk, Hashem ish milchama, Hashem shemai. This Pasuk here that we learned today is coming to give us the answer. It's amazing. This is the key to Kabbalah. This is Mamash learning over here, Zohar 101. This is the key to Kabbalah. The emes is Kikel Anochi. Make no mistake about it. Hashem is above and beyond. V'lo yish. However, Bikir Becha Kadosh. It is my desire. Those are the key words. Bikir Becha. It is my desire that I be amongst you. I be amongst you holy. You should be able to relate to me. There should be a degree of Kedusha. My Kedusha shall be amongst you. Bikir b'chokot. Therefore, we have to follow the implication of the pasuk. Hashem is mitzamtzem himself. He limits himself into the tzura of a which we call an ish. Hashem ish milchama, that we can relate to. Because of Hashem's chesed, that he wants us to connect to him, we're able to relate to him. So this pasuk is really a very, very powerful pasuk. You don't notice, you're learning Hosea, these sukkim are mamish, all the yesoides, all of the, each one pasuk after another is knocking out yesoides of yados. It was amazing. And here, this Chazal is telling us exactly this concept because of my desire that I should be amongst you. That's why I'm at some say myself. Okay, next Chaimah Chazal, going down, we're four lines down. Shuv l'mocha asidah k'nesi shol shetayma lefanav, ribonu shololam kvar kosafta, lemar, heini yishlach ish es ishtoy v'hocha mi shol, heini yishalach ish es ishtoy v'hocha mi yitoy v'hoysel ishachar hayashuv eleha oid. We have a rule that when the Nevi'im beg Klal Yisrael to do teshuvah, they make the following mashal. What does it say? What does it say in the Torah? If a man divorces his wife, is he allowed to take her back? Absolutely. In fact, there's a mitzvah. Machzir Yerushasai is one of the Taryag mitzvahs according to the Moineh HaMitzvahs. It's one of the 613 Machzir Yerushasai. But what happens if the wife, she marries someone else, and then she gets divorced, or her husband dies, and now her first husband wants to take her back? It is aser. It is categorically forbidden, no ands, ifs, and buts. It's aser. So Klal Yisrael makes the following argument to the prophets. The prophets tell Klal Yisrael and Golus, do teshuvah. Do teshuvah, Hashem will take you back. Klal Yisrael responds, our relationship with Hashem was compared to a husband and wife. We were married to Hashem. When Hashem destroyed the Beis Hamikdash and sent us into exile, it was the equivalent of divorce. In exile, we worshipped idols. That's equivalent to us getting married to another husband, another man. Now, when we have divorced ourselves from the Avodah Zarah, or the Avodah Zarah is no longer a Nisayon, our husband died here in Galus, we're no longer allowed, we no longer have the option of returning to Hashem. We are a divorced woman who has married someone else, and even when that woman gets divorced from the second husband, or the second husband dies, it's too little too late for her to return to her first husband. This is what the Klal Yisrael responds to the prophets. It's a pasuk. We learned this once upon a time. Shuv l'macha asid k'nei shuv shem l'fadu b'nei shalom akavar kasafta in Yirmiyah lemar hein yishalach ish es ishtoi holcha meito v'hoysu l'shacher ha-yashuv e'leha oid oi ma'lo klum kasafti ele ish v'aloi kvar nemar ki kelo noichi v'lo ish. The rules do not apply to me, Hashem says. Because there are two psukim. There is another pasuk that says that Hashem did give us a bill of divorce. There are two psukim. It's a chazal is the stira. There are two psukim in the Vim, one to haftar parash akev. The pasuk that you are referring to is show me the bill of divorce. I never divorced you.
Right.
Right, so that's the Erechan. That Chazal is not, that this is not working out well with that Chazal. It's true. The common answer is, there's a basic question. There are two psukim. I don't have the two psukim on the tip of my tongue, but there are two psukim in Nevi'im. One pasuk says explicitly that Hashem divorced us. Another pasuk says Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, show me your bill of divorce. I never divorced you. You're still married to me. Stira. How do you answer the stira? Tough question. One of the answers is one pasuk refers to the Aseres HaShvatim, and the other pasuk refers to Yehuda and Binyamin. The Aseres HaShvatim was divorced by Hashem, and they went out into Galus, and according to most opinions, they're gone. We don't know, they never came back, they're gone. And the pasuk that says, show me your bill of divorce, refers to Yehuda and Binyamin. They were never divorced, and that's why indeed today, That's why Klal Yisrael is still around today, because we all come from Yehuda. I mean, I told you many times that we have a tradition that the Jews who lived in Jews after the Churban Bayis Sheni, when they went to Rome, and from Rome they went to Europe. They migrated to France and Germany. Those Jews primarily were from Shevet Binyamin, and the Jews that were descendants of Shevet Yehuda went to Spain. After the Rome, after the first Tekufa of Galus, the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Jews somehow wound up primarily in Eastern Europe and in Spain. Those are the two major centers of Judaism, yeah?
I met a man recently, it's about Shuva, he said he's from Shevet Zvulun.
So how does he know, yeah?
You know, his family's from India.
Okay, if they have a tradition, we have to, one thing's very clear. When we say the Aseres HaShvatim disappeared, it does not mean every single last member of Shevet the Aseres HaShvatim. It means the vast majority. But there are definitely survivors from every one of the Yud Beis Shvatim. And Chazal actually say this, they say that the survivors, they were absorbed into Yehuda and bin yamin. There were even psukim that allude to this. We learned this once upon a time, where there were survivors who indeed they joined. They came back from. Chazal say that Yirmiyah went to get them to retrieve them. Yirmiyah went to retrieve them, and it does not appear that he succeeded in retrieving them all, but he definitely brought back with him some of them, enough survivors that there is a significant number of survivors from each one of the Shvatim, which today no one knows where they come from, but there is a tradition that there are definitely people in Klal Yisrael today that if we were able to trace their lineage, we would discover that there are today remnants of all 12 Shvatim. Certainly, it's going to come a point in time in the near future with technology, we're going to be able, they have DNA, right, they have DNA today, still they can't do this, not yet, but so they're always talking about the gene, the Kohen gene. Okay, it's very, very fascinating. 80% of Kohanim have the gene. And 20% of the Kohanim who call themselves Kohanim do not have the gene. And those who do not call themselves Kohanim, almost none of them have the gene. It's very, very weird. So it speaks volumes. So you can't, you know, it's a very significant. But certainly, you know, the technology is advancing at a rapid pace. It's going to come a point in time when you'll just take a Q-tip, put it under your tongue, and put it into a machine, and they'll tell you your lineage all the way back to Adam Harishon. It's going to come to that at some point in time. No, you don't think so? I think so. You'll just put it, you know, there'll be a kiosk. Every yeshiva will have a kiosk by the bima. By the bima, you know, you just take a swab, Q-tip, and you put it into the kiosk. Will tell you, you're so advanced. I said, you know that you're a cousin with this guy in the back of the room over there? And this guy's your third cousin, your fifth cousin, that guy? You know, because the computer will see walks in the shul. You know, there are cameras right away. There'll be a smart bima. They'll say when they call up the guy and says, "You can't give him aliyah." There'll be like a hatch underneath the bima. If the guy walks up, it's not a kohen. The hatch opens and he goes down. They'll keep him in storage until they need him, and then. The computer will bring him back up. Smart bima. You heard it here first, Rabbi Yisai. A smart bima, yeah.
Very often we feel that Hashem is so close to us and Hashem is so far from us. You know, very often with all the challenges that we have, you know, you feel both very, very often.
Both elu v'elu. It's complex.
You can look at all the challenges we have, but look at everything that we've accomplished. It's
exactly. Exactly.
Everything is at one time. The same
and that time. That's what's very unique about this generation. You can have both at the same time.
Yes.
Is that the world is so fast-paced, on the same day, Rahman al-Itslam, you can feel like there's a war has broken out. Iran is, the world is coming to an end. The world is coming to an end. There's a war going on with Syria and Iran. And the same day, everyone is preparing celebration for Trump is moving the embassy to Yerushalayim. That's a very significant thing. That's awesome. So how can it be at the same time Iran is going to sending missiles. Go back 10 years ago. If Iran would have sent missiles 10 years ago, everyone in Shul would be saying Tehillim. It would be Mamish and Asa. And today, okay, that was yesterday. And today, tomorrow is. You're right. We're living in very interesting times. So where were we reading from? All right, let's go to the next Chazal. Okay, so this is a very beautiful idea, and this argument, according to this Maimer Chazal, this from the Sifrei, that we should not say to Hashem, we should not make the mistake and think that it's too late. A lot of the Christians, they always, that's what they love to do to us. They love to tell us, it's too late for you. You've been rejected. You've been rejected, and therefore Hashem has starred all over. He's exchanged you for us. And they have all these convoluted, crazy arguments, and all this nonsense. And one of the things that they would say was this, exactly this. They'll say, doesn't it say in the Torah that if a man divorces a wife and she remarries, and then they get divorced, she cannot go back to her previous husband. Therefore, there's no way in the world HaKadosh Baruch Hu can marry you. You cannot be the chosen nation because the relation between Hashem and his people is a man and a wife. So Hashem here responds to them himself and says with this pasuk, Hashem, Ki kel anoichi v'lo ish. Excuse me, sir. I don't follow the rules. I'm not a person. The rules don't apply to me. I'm God. Just because my servants have abandoned me and they have embraced another religion, so what? It doesn't mean anything. They can come back to me. They can come back to me with open arms. I am still, nothing has changed. This pasuk is the response. Da malehoshiv li apikiris. You have to be professionally trained to know how to deal with these people.
But it does say Hashem Ish Mulcham. It does say that.
That's another. Maybe that's both.
Hashem Ish.
That's another dimension. So that's the other Maimer Chazal. There's a lot. You know, there are many layers of interpretation. So that we had the other Chazal. Oh, but it says Hashem is an Ish. So we explain this pasuk also in another dimension addresses that difficulty where it doesn't mean mamish. It means I'm a kel v'lo ish. And the connotation, according to the Maimar Chazal, we said a moment ago, is, and when it appears to you that I am an ish, that's only because of my chesed of tzimtzum. Bikir b'cho kodosh. I want that I should be with you, amongst you. V'hisalachti b'soichichem. I want to be atayel imochem b'gan Eden. I want to be with you. If I'm going to be with you as a God, you'll be blown away. So therefore, I have to be mitzamsei myself as if I am an ish, so you can relate to me. But the emes is I'm a kel. And therefore, just because you have sinned and I have separated myself from you, does not mean you cannot come back to me.
You could say Hashem Ish Mulchama is Azushi Moshe of Bnei Israel. That's what they said, not a Kodesh Baruch Hu. A Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Kikel Anochi. Don't think that I'm Hashem Ish Mulchama. Don't make that mistake.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, let's go. The next Chazal we learned yesterday. The next Maimer Chazal we learned yesterday in the Radak. The Radak cited this Chazal to give the perush on the pasuk. Bikir b'chol kadosh v'loy avoy bu'ir. I am amongst you. I will not enter into the city. What does this mean? Omar le Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, my dichse bikir b'chol kadosh v'loy avoy bu'ir. Mishum de bikir b'chol kadosh. Omar Hashem, because how does it follow from one to the next? Because it's a stira. If I am, my holiness is amongst you. So why then is Hashem not coming into this Yerushalayim? I'm not going to come into the Yerushalayim Shel Maila at Sheavoy Yerushalayim Shel Mata. Haynu at Sheyiskayim Bekibicha Kadosh Lamata. Only when it will be fulfilled. Bekibicha Kadosh. Only then will Hashem allow Himself to enter into the Yerushalayim Shel Maila. Lo'avoy bu'ir Shel Maila. Beautiful Mamre Chazal. So you can't ignore this light of the fact. You know, I'm not from the world that likes to shelter themselves from what's going on in the world. The fact that the leader of the free world, who has the most influence over the entire world, United States of America, they have very publicly expressed that Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. Haloi davar. Haloi davar. This is a very, very significant. And to publicly, to a ceremony, to show this to the world, to move the embassy with pomp and fanfare and to send all the representatives, haloi davar. The Ribbono Shel Olam is speaking. This is a very strong wake-up call. Bikir b'chol kadosh. I'm with you. The Ribbono Shel Olam and the world, if the world recognizes this, maybe you should recognize this, that the Ribbono Shel Olam Shechina is returning to Yerushalayim. And when the Ribbono Shel Olam Shechina returns to Yerushalayim, avoy v'ir. That means Hashem is going to return to the Yerushalayim Shel Maila. And that triggers the ear shechubro lo yochad, the synthesis, the link, the channel between Shamayim v'aretz is in sync. And that opens up for us in this world a channel to directly communicate with the Ribbono Shel Olam. What would our ancestors say about this? Everyone I look around is sleeping. I mean, the world. I don't mean here. But in the world, like, all right, big deal, okay. Okay, so the United States, they're putting the embassy there. No. What do the other nations say? Some say yes, some say not. Can you imagine, go back 100 years, go back 200 years? What would our ancestors say? They would be blown away. they'd be blown away. They wouldn't believe it. They would say, Mashiach is coming. Mashiach's not here, obviously. Okay, now let's not get carried away. I'm not going, but there's something happening. There's something to wake up. Wake up and smell the coffee. There is something really going on over here. And, you know, it's Sakana. No one's denying the fact that it's a very, very nervous time. Eretz Yisrael, read the news. You know, they're like, Mamash, red alert. It's red alert because this is very provocative, obviously. It's very provocative. And it's a big Sakana. After Mispalo, do your part. Be on your best behavior.
I heard that women were concerned than they are in Eretz Yisrael.
It's true, absolutely true. I was in Eretz Yisrael.
I had the zuchus
of being in Eretz Yisrael when, out of the blue, Trump announced he's moving the embassy. I went there for a simcha. My brother made a simcha. I was there, and they were talking, but no one. And out of the blue, it was like a 3-day warning almost. It was a 3-day. Oh, there's talk where he might do it. Will he not? And then out of the blue, he did it. And I was there in Eretz Yisrael amongst, you know, I'm a tourist, so I got to, you know, I get to go. And like, not a word. At least the sense that I got, not a word. The Haredi community especially, not a word. And then I went to the Waldorf. I mean, that's the pulse. That's the center. You know, the Waldorf in Yerushalayim. Not a word. Quiet. Not a word. You wouldn't even know. I'm telling you, you really wouldn't even know. And then by the Shebrachas, and I started talking about it. Okay, I got to speak by some of the Shebrachas, all different types of, you know, different chevers. You know, they were all different types of chevers, family, Shiva Shechever, this chever. And like, if I would say something about it, everyone just froze. Just froze. Like, they weren't misnagate. They just froze. Like, we don't, no one has a sense of how to understand. In America, everyone's talking, yeah. It's just a different sense. There is just like, what does this mean? What does this mean? What's going on over here? When the taxi, they told us, Kosel, you know, no Kosel, that's it, don't go to the Kosel, it's a Kosel Nefashis. I went with my brother to his yeshiva. His yeshiva was in Talpiot. He teaches in Talpiot. So the driver who takes him, he said, there's no one on the street. This is very unusual. Talpiot is a little bit dangerous. There are a lot of Arabs in that neighborhood. And he said, the streets are empty. This is not the way it normally is. Normally, when we go this way, there are cars, there are people walking on the street. If you notice today, there's no one on the street. Because that was the day or the day after when he announced he's moving the embassy.
Nothing happened.
So there was a sense. There was definitely a fear, a sense. But yet it was very calm. No one was getting carried away. It was calm. I know it's not like a... All right, let's go Vayitim. Over here, the Yerushalayim Shalmaila, Yerushalayim Shalmata. What is the advantage of HaKadosh Baruch coming? Bekir B'chol Kadosh, Yerushalayim Shalmaila. What does that mean? Chazal, we learned this yesterday. Chazal mean Ir Shechubra Lo Yochad. The meaning is there is a channel of communication between this lower world and the upper world. If you don't have the chibur of the Yerushalayim Shalmaila with the Yerushalayim Shalmata, there's no channel of communication. Then you just have to scream and hope that someone hears you from on the other side. It's like you're living in the basement and you have to hope, you're calling for help, someone on the first floor can hear you, you need help. But if you have a telephone, you can call from downstairs to upstairs. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has entered the Yerushalayim Shalmaila, because the Shechina has come to the Yerushalayim Shalmata, that means there's a direct line of communication to the other world, and that opens up for us on this world infinite possibilities of what we could accomplish, what we can do, our ability to communicate and seek assistance, guidance, happiness, fulfillment in this world. It's a major game change. It's a game changer. But if there is no connection, then we're groping in the darkness. We can go, we're like living in Gilligan's Island. You can do everything that you want, but there's no one to talk to. There's no one, you're living in isolation and you just, you know, you're living in isolation, you're having a good time, but you're really missing out on what could be or what could really be. Next, Maimon Chazal. The next Maimon Chazal is Omar Rabbi Loza Rabbi Loza says, Kol HaYosha B'Tanis Tikva Kadosh, New Halacha, anyone that fasts, anyone that is Yosha B'Tanis is called a holy person. Okay, so it's a good thing to fast. No one does that anymore today. Fasting is not our thing. Me Omar Rabbi Loza, really? Omar Rabbi Loza, Olam Yomar Adam Atzma Kilu Hu Kadosh, a person measure himself, Ki Ilu Kadosh Shari B'Soich Me'av. In other words, ki ilu kol mayof ki doishim vi osor lehachisham. Kum fakert. Shenemar bikir b'chol kadosh v'loi ovoi b'ir. Okay, so I don't really understand how how that applies, but he seems to be saying over here is kum fakert that you should sanctify food. Don't hold back from eating. Just the opposite. Your inside, your stomach is holy. It's like a mizbeach. Just like the mizbeach is holy. And we put on the surface of the Mizbeach, the fats, the Emurim, we put all things on the Mizbeach, which means that we are, it's called Achilas Mizbeach. I'm sure many of you learned Daf Yomi, there are two terms in Zvachim. There's something called Achilas Koyhanim, or Achilas Baalim, Achilas Odom, and Achilas Mizbeach. When you put on the Mizbeach, the meat, the limbs, the emurim, the special limbs which are meant to be burned, and the fats, that is called, and the mizbeach, the fire of the mizbeach consumes these items. This is called the achilas, the eating of the mizbeach. So the mizbeach likes to eat. There's no fast days for the mizbeach. Isn't that amazing? That's really remarkable. We at least have to fast once a year, Min HaTorah, on Yom Kippur. One day a year, we cannot eat. But the Mizbeach, it never has to fast. Never. The Mizbeach is called a living creature. There are many terms Chazal used to describe the Mizbeach as a creature, a living creature. And the Mizbeach never, ever goes on a tainus. Every single day, b'li yoytze min haklal, there's breakfast and there's lunch and supper. Breakfast is a tamid shel shachar. Lunch, Tamishal ben Harbayim, and supper is the burning of the emurim of the entire day. Yom Kippur has a lavish meal. The par, Shel Kohen Gadol, the sohir, and it has the musafim. The Mizbeach never has to fast. It's a remarkable concept. Achilas Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach never fasts. Human beings, Torah says, V'inis mesnaf shel seichem. There are times when you don't eat. Chazal, by extension, were on strike. During many, Tisha B'Av, four Taniyos, v'chulu, we fast. So here the Gemara comes along, poses a steer in Rabbi Eliezer. Eliezer says, a person should fast, should not eat. And by not eating, that will bring him holiness. Stira, it says in the Pasuk, Bikir B'cha, in your stomach, is Kedusha. Your stomach has the status of a Mizbeach. And just like the Mizbeach, the way you sanctify is by giving the Mizbeach food to eat, putting on the Mizbeach the Emurim, so too, when you eat food, you are sanctifying yourself. You're eating food the Shem Shemayim. Contradiction. How do we have the contradiction? The answer depends. It depends on the person. Some people fast well, some people don't fast well. If you can handle the rodeo burger, then, you know what that is referring to? If you can handle it, then you fasting would be a darg of kadosh. If you can't handle it, then don't handle it. Then taka, kedusha is all relevant to the person. Some people the kedusha is through fasting. Some of the kedusha is bedafka, not through fasting. All right, that concludes pasuk tes, and we're going to stop here. Mirat Hashem on Monday. We'll begin with pasuk yud.
That was Shloikidin. Is that like Tisha B'Av or
that was Shivas B'Tamuz.